This time last year, more than 300 people were living in squalor along several blocks next to Boston's South End.
We need trash bags.
Their tent encampment was near the intersection of Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard, known as Mass and Cass. The streets were strewn with human waste, garbage, and used hypodermic needles. City leaders declared it a public health crisis. Mike Spinelli had endured about 5 years at Mass and Cass, even through the depths of winter.
You're on a sidewalk with like six blankets and six blankets over you and three guys like huddling to keep warm when there's rats infested all over you. It's crazy. It's crazy how people like live down there.
Spinelli isn't down there anymore. He's one of more than 180 people from Mass and Cass who've moved into permanent housing since the city started planning to clear the encampment last October. But the move away from Mass and Cass is just the first step toward a stable life. We met up with Spinelli and some of the people helping him in July at his new home.
Hey, Elise, this is Mike.
Hi, how are you?
It's a fourth-floor walk-up in Boston's Fenway neighborhood. It's tight quarters, but bright and clean.
This is my bedroom.
So it's a one-bedroom.
Yep. It's very cozy.
Very cozy, and you've got a street view, which is fantastic.
A beautiful view with a beautiful breeze.
The apartment puts Spinelli a little closer, at least geographically, to a life he almost had in his grasp 25 years ago. He was on a path to pitching for the Red Sox at Fenway Park. Spinelli had been a star pitcher at Revere High School, a southpaw known for his mean pickoff move. The Red Sox drafted him in 1995, and he played for their rookie and minor league teams in Florida. But he was caught using steroids and suspended. He returned to pitching in 1999. Then he tore a ligament in his elbow twice and had to have what's known as Tommy John surgery. He says that's when he became addicted to opioids.
When I had Tommy John surgery for my elbow the first time, they prescribed me OxyContin, and I threw it away because I didn't like them. I didn't like the way they made me feel. And 13 months later, I tore it again. And I fell into a depression, and I took one, and it made me feel unbelievable because it numbed me. So that's telling me that my psychological problems were taken care of by a pill.
He used the opioid pills for 5 years, then switched to heroin. Mike Spinelli is now 46 years old. For the first time in years, he feels some sense of security. That's because the place where he lies down to sleep at night is his home.
Do you remember, it wasn't that long ago, actually, your first night here and what it was like?
First night here was awesome. I slept on a mattress, and when I woke up in the morning, it was like the best feeling because I didn't have to worry about someone saying, you got to go, you got to do this, you got to do that, you can't be here. And that was the best feeling in the world.
The apartment has donated furniture and fans. They're on because it's sweltering. Spinelli says he's grateful for all of it, but he can't wait to give the place his own touch with modern furniture and plants and candles. He says he wants to cook big Italian Sunday dinner for his mother and brothers one of these days, homemade pasta and, don't you dare say, sauce.
I say gravy, you guys say sauce.
No, I say gravy, okay. I'm Italian,
I make gravy Sunday and, I cook everything. I can make cutlets, like anything that's like Italian I can make.
Spinelli wouldn't have come this far without help from Elliott Community Human Services. The nonprofit is finding housing and providing support for people who lived unsheltered at Mass and Cass. Spinelli's team from Elliott includes a case manager, housing director, certified addiction nurse, and a doctor. They connect him with services, help him get to appointments, and stop by his place or call several times a week. On this day, his addiction nurse, Megan Sonderager, was among those who stopped by. She's been working with Spinelli for about 5 years. She wasn't aware of his stint in professional baseball.
I didn't know who Mike Spinelli was because I don't do baseball, so it didn't impress me one bit when I met him.
Exactly.
Spinelli's caseworkers say when they first met him, he was using drugs so heavily he'd struggle to carry on a conversation. He'd overdosed dozens of times, but they didn't give up on him. They helped him get his birth certificate, social security card, and an ID so he could rent this apartment.
We've been through a lot together, and it's just, it was a horror show. So moving him in here, I mean, it was like tears and laughter, and it's just joyous.
Even though he's not living at Mass and Cass, as of early summer, Spinelli was still going to the area for drugs.
I'm trying to get off, hot. I'm trying very hard.
He doesn't have to be sober to keep his apartment, but he wants to be clean. He and Sonderegger strategized about treatment options. His care is complicated. He's diagnosed with severe depression, and he needs medical help for a bad injury from last year. Spinelli broke his hip when he was still at Mass in Cass. He says he was high and in a blackout and walked off a loading dock. His team has set him up with an orthopedic doctor. For now, he walks with a pronounced limp and grimaces in pain.
The only thing that does help is opiates. I don't get high to get high. I get high to get rid of the pain.
So what gives you strength? Because this is a big transition. It's a great one, but transitions are hard.
It's the people around me. Like, you know, I have great people around me. I have a great team. They are always there if I need them. And that is huge for me because, you know, I always need help.
Not long after that interview in July, Spinelli took a radical step toward recovery. He asked his team from Elliott to commit him to a treatment program through the courts. Spinelli's housing case manager, Mark Bradshaw, says he's never seen a client asked to be committed.
It's definitely a bold choice and something that we don't take lightly doing. He basically gave up all of his rights in that moment to make choices on his own. But I think he saw the opportunity that if he could have the time and space to prioritize his recovery, that's something that, you know, he could do if he had the time and space to do it.
He spent nearly 2 months in treatment at Taunton State Hospital. 2 weeks after Spinelli's discharge, we meet up with him again. We sit on a stone wall near his apartment. He says he's taking the medication Suboxone to treat his addiction.
I've been clean for over 2 months now, and I feel fabulous. I feel amazing.
And when's the last time you were clean for 2 months?
I can't even remember, maybe 10 years ago. Now my daughters want to see me. I set up dates to see my daughters. They've been asking for me.
He has a 12-year-old and 10-year-old twins. He says the treatment program gave him lots of therapy and new tools to try to stay sober. Now he takes part in support programs and meetings. He tries to stick to a routine every day. That includes going to the gym. He did go down to Mass and Cass to see his friends after he returned home from treatment, but he says he realized it was a bad idea.
I ask myself what I'm doing down there. Like, why am I down here? I'm setting myself up, you know, and so I stopped going down there altogether.
What's your favorite thing to do in free time?
I like reading, you know. I read. Right now, I'm into James Patterson
oh, yeah?
Book. Yeah, Big Bad Wolf. I love his books.
And he says he loves his new home and what it's doing for him.
Without the apartment, I'm not getting clean. Because without an apartment, you know, I'm depressed. Or there's no structure. There's nothing to keep, like, your belongings. Or there's so much more, like, work being put into staying clean.
Even though Mike Spinelli's time and attention are focused on his recovery, he allows himself to dream. He wants to teach baseball to kids someday and visit schools to tell young people about his life and help them avoid what he's going through. Our story was produced by Lynn Joliker.